Good morning, AWS, and welcome to the AWS Morning Brief. This week, I'm in San Francisco, so if you are, let me know. I'm looking for folks to grab coffee with if you happen to be around. AWS got up to their usual shenanigans last week, and we'll talk about it in a minute. But first, I'd like to thank this episode's sponsor, DigitalOcean. Their docs are direct, they've got stellar UX. I swear that you'll think that you're dreaming. You shouldn't delay, go get on it today. Visit do.co/screaming. Thank you to DigitalOcean for their support of my ridiculous nonsense and worse singing. So what did AWS get up to last week? Glad you asked. Amazon EC2 auto scaling now supports enabling and disabling scaling policies. Leading, of course, to the obvious question, what the living hell were we supposed to do before? Amazon Forecast now uses public holiday data from over 30 countries to improve forecast accuracy. Now, I'm not saying that Forecast is built out of the technology that was derived from running an e-commerce site, but it very clearly was, and I would be cautious if your use case does not directly mirror building an Amazon.com competitor. Amazon Managed Cassandra Service now enables you to optimize the price of throughput for predictable workloads. I maintain that this continues to be functionally a more expensive version of DynamoDB, only with a different API, or as they pronounce it at Amazon, a different API. Amazon Neptune provides an option to enforce SSL connections. That Giraffe database keeps on getting better all the time. Remember, when it launched a year ago, it didn't even support SSL. Now you can mandate it. Encrypt everything, unless it's hard. Neptune also supports stopping and starting of database clusters, which is critically important. If you think it's easy to pull that off, you try stopping a rampaging giraffe. Amazon Pinpoint achieves HIPAA eligibility for the SMS channel. I'm trying to read this in a way that doesn't say that it's now okay to send HIPAA-protected information over text message, but that's exactly what it looks like it claims to do. Please don't do that. Amazon RDS for SQL Server now supports Z1D instances. These tend to be for very fast, single-threaded processes. I wasn't aware that a database server qualified as one of those things, but all right, it shows how little I know about databases. Amazon RDS on VMware can report disconnected status. What the hell did it do before if it disconnected? Just drop its workload on the floor? Speaking of dropping workloads on the floor, this episode is sponsored in part by Chaos Search. You might know what they do, because if you take a look at your existing log analytics solution, it almost certainly is dropping things on the floor itself, either by attempting to auto-scale and failing to do so, by just taking naps for a little while, and basically causing you pain when it comes to managing the care and feeding around anything even tangentially related to log analytics. Well, like sensible people, Chaos Search has gone ahead and separated out storage from compute. The data lives in S3, and the compute uses APIs you know and tolerate sitting in containers right next to that S3 bucket. You can query as much as you want, scale up or down the containers. The data lives in S3, so it's far less expensive, and there are remarkably few moving parts to break. To learn more, visit chaossearch.io. Amazon Recognition now detects text in videos and lets you filter results by region, bounding box size, and confidence score. This means that I might be able to build an Alexa skill that in turn will wind up lulling me to sleep with the dulcet tones of reading the Chiron on the bottom of various news channels. Amazon VPC endpoints and endpoint services now support tag on create, meaning that anything you have programmatically that was tagging these after they'd been created, usually through a janky series of scripts and automation that you really shouldn't have bothered building, can now be consigned to the dustbin of history where it belongs. Just make sure you update your creation and provisioning systems first. AWS Console mobile application adds support for new services on iOS. That's right, there is an iOS mobile app that gives access to a stripped-down version of the AWS Console. I've played with it, and I would call it disappointing, but that's not strongly worded enough. I would much rather see this entire thing ripped out and replaced with a working web console that features responsive design, that addresses all services people might want to do, and suddenly gets past all of these issues. The console is generally a microservices culture, and it shows. You take a look at some of the oldest stuff, like Route 53, it locks up completely on mobile Safari. Stop it. Just stop it. Make things better. Don't try and replace them wholesale. AWS Firewall Manager now supports AWS CloudFormation. Firewall Manager is a service that helps you manage firewall rules across a wide variety of different things, but its primary service is to give you an AWS service whose name you can put into the title of a conference talk and finally get it accepted at RSA. CloudFormation, of course, now automates this, so you technically can use CloudFormation to control your existing firewall rules. Let that one marinate for a minute. AWS Identity and Access Management, or IAM, introduces a new control for requests that AWS services make on your behalf. This is a conditional that's sort of awesome. The example that they give is, if you're an IAM user, I can now stipulate that you're allowed to spin up, say, EC2 instances, but you're only allowed to do it via CloudFormation. So you won't be able to spin things up in the console, and instead it will restrict you to doing things programmatically rather than in an ad hoc manner. This has the potential to be huge. AWS Lambda metric for concurrent executions now supports all functions, versions, and aliases. That's right. You have a limit that tells you how many concurrent Lambda executions could be going on at any given point in time, but now it tells you how many of those you have across your entire account rather than just a subset wherein you get to play guess and check everywhere. AWS Lambda now supports Ruby 2.7, and the timing is apt because I tried to spin up a Ruby Lambda function last week. It turns out that the biggest problem with writing Ruby Lambda functions is not necessarily the versioning. It's that if I want to use Python or JavaScript, I can go and get examples of almost exactly what I'm trying to do with varying degrees of quality from every corner of the internet. Some of the newer language runtimes just don't have that base of existing work. So you're going back to reinventing all of these things basically from first principles. It slows you down if you're a full stack overflow developer like I am, where your primary IDE is copying and pasting. Amazon ECR raises and simplifies image API quotas to start new workloads quicker. Awesome. I love it when they say they're simplifying something, which is great. And when they raise something, I'm sometimes happy, but often suspicious that raise will be reflected in the monthly bill. New partner integrations available for AWS Security Hub. I've gotten tired of seeing these, so I can only assume that the latest partner is a company called AWS Security Bub. Seems to work. You can now receive notifications about pull request approvals in AWS Code Commit. Awesome. Historically, someone would approve your pull request or ignore your pull request, and it just was an ocean of silence until someone yelled at you for not doing whatever it was you were supposed to do next. Now, it tells you about it. You can now restore Amazon DynamoDB table backups as new tables in other AWS regions, which is great. What's crap is that to restore that table, you are consuming write capacity, so this has the potential to either be painfully slow or criminally expensive. Choose your poison. Either way, it hurts. Savings plan update. Save up to 17% on your Lambda workloads. This is simultaneously a huge deal and a nothing release. And let me explain what I mean by that. The dollar value of virtually everyone's Lambda bill rounds towards zero. Even shops that are spending thousands of dollars a month on Lambda are generally spending millions of dollars that month on EC2. The cost savings available for Lambda workloads is almost always negligible. The reason that this release is still important is that it avoids the sunk cost fallacy of, well, we'd like to move this application that's super well suited for Lambda functions to serverless, but we can't because we already bought savings plans for the instances it runs on top of. It frees up architectural decisions from the constraints of discounted pricing decisions. This is a fantastic news from that perspective. So please now expand this further to RDS and other higher level services as soon as you can. That request is for AWS, not you personally, if you tend not to work there. If you do work there, make sure that whoever makes those decisions has no chance to eat lunch in peace without being harangued constantly until they grant my request. You can now extend a self-managed Active Directory to AWS Control Tower. This would not have been in my top 40 feature requests for Control Tower, but at least it shows folks are still working on it. If you work on it and would like a giant basket of feedback, you know exactly where to find me at this point. Tracking software usage across multiple AWS accounts using AWS License Manager. This is fantastic because now it does what you might want a license manager to do. If you could only work with small siloed license groups at a time, well, you were already doing that and your license manager was called Microsoft Excel. And finally, there's a blog post on how to define least privileged permissions for actions called by AWS services. It's nice that they're finally getting some content out around this and sucks that it is still extortionately painful. I maintain that if AWS wants to wind up making it easier to do this and push it forward as a best practice, for God's sake, stop including default grant all permissions in examples and blog posts and everything else. Do the work or accept that that work is too finicky for most people to do and security is going to continue being a giant problem. And that's what happened last week in AWS. My thanks to DigitalOcean and Chaos Search for their sponsorship of this ridiculous podcast. And I will talk to you next week.
This has been a Hubble Pod production.
Stay humble.